You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick off the show, as we always do, with a sense of how the markets have been moving throughout the day. Joined on the line by Sasfin Wealth's David Shapiro to take a look at the market movements throughout the day and see if we can make sense of them. Uncle David, good evening. Lovely to speak to you, as always. This is certainly one of the first times in my lifetime, barring the pandemic, that I've seen a CPI print below 3%. But I imagine you can remember a couple of times when this has happened.
I have to go back to the 70s, I think. I remember when I was at university, actually, which was in the 60s, inflation in those days was always, 6%. And then, Jimmy, we got into the 70s and 80s where 12% was the norm. You know, those were the famous years that Volcker eventually had to address. So, it's to get it down to 2%, I think, or 3% would be wonderful. But I still think tomorrow, Lesetja, the very miserly central banker, is only going to give us another 25 points. He's like a strict headmaster, you know. You can only have one toffee or you can only have one sweetie, you know. So, but maybe is a little nervous about what lies ahead, you know, particularly in the global markets and that. But it was a very good number, brought down mainly by, fuel, by petrol, which I think was down about 19% on the month. And that's very volatile. Food was also a little bit better. In other words, the rate of growth was slower. But nice to see it below 3. Yeah?
You mentioned that, obviously, that rate decision that is going to come out tomorrow. We do know that our Reserve Bank governor is on the conservative side. And as you said, there are a couple of those factors that are still out there. I mean, I look at the CPI print out of the UK that suggests that they are still battling with inflation. It's still sticky on their side of the world. I mean, ticking up from 1.7 to north of 2% on that side suggests that maybe the inflation battle isn't completely one. And yes, maybe we want to be more cautious.
Jimmy, I don't think any central governor knows what's happening. I think coming out of COVID, and I really mean that, I think they're all battling, pulling levers. And even now, they're not quite sure whether the decrease in inflation, is luck or whether it's their policies, And I think we misunderstand or can't grasp what COVID did when they closed the global economy and all the disruptions it's brought. I still think we're trying to get out of it, and there are a lot of issues that they don't understand and will take time to figure it out. I think they'll go back to the, to their books. There are no manuals that are going to help them. There's no books have been written about this. So I think every central bank governor is still very, very nervous about, where inflation is.
I think the book is currently being written, to your point, Uncle David, is that this is the time that we will reflect on 20, 30, 40 years from now to say this is how things were handled. But when we look at those readings and we look at just what is happening from, you bring up the pandemic, and I had a look back, and the last time we had inflation below 3% was the pandemic, and prior to the pandemic was in the middle of the Mbeki presidency in 2004, when President Mbeki had just been re-elected for his second term. So it was at the height of South Africa's economic development. I think we might have had some of the best economic growth around that time as well. But the numbers clearly suggest that we haven't seen this inflation level, barring the pandemic, in 20 years.
In those days, in the Mbeki days, we were growing at 5%. Remember, we were in the midst of the commodity super cycle. Things were really strong at the moment. We had the World Cup in 2010, and it just gave a reflection of where we were. And then, of course, we got the 2008-2009 financial crisis, global financial crisis, and never quite recovered from that. And other issues started to contribute, to our difficult times as well, from then on. So, listen, credit to the governor, full credit. I think he's a marvelous man, and I think also credit to the Treasury. I always give him compliments, and I think that he's never been influenced by, politics around him. I have to say that for Powell as well, and, that's why you need an independent central bank, that they're not swayed by political motives. So let's hope we can maintain it. The rand still 18.10, which is a bit of a concern, but oil prices are still in the low levels. I'm talking about Brent and WTI. You know, energy prices are still down, so there's possibility that, you know, this can continue at these lower levels.
I was coming to that, Uncle David, around the rand, to say you print the best. Granted, our rand is politically driven, but you surely, when you print the best inflation print of the last 20 years for your country, coming off of highs of almost 8%, to be at 25 or nearly 25 to 30% of that level, surely the market would have reacted a little bit better. I'm a little disappointed.
It's the dollar, you know. And the dollar is very strong at the moment, and there are a number of reasons. It's also the belief that rates will not come down as far as everybody's anticipated in the US. They will come down, but also that its growth is outpacing anything else. You know, Europe's under pressure, Japan under pressure. You can see Europe in a bit of a mess. The rest of the world still very worried. You know, China not growing. So as a result of that, you know, simply on growth initiatives and considering what Trump's going to do, you're going to get money flowing into the US, you know, for reasons other than just purely interest rates. And I think that's propping up the dollar as well. We can expect the dollar, you know, under these circumstances to maintain its strength. And that's going to weigh on all, I don't want to say only South Africa, but all, call it poorer countries, emerging markets, whatever definition, and as well as the euro. You know, if you look at the euro, it's 105. I mean, that's weak. Mm. That's really weak, and it's heading, you know, this could easily head back to, you know, to parity, which is we haven't seen for some time. So yeah, it's out of our control.
as it seems to be that most things are lately, where we have to kind of sit back and say, let's see how things unfold. Looking at commodities, though, we're seeing that there's some bit of hope in some of the commodities. The gold price seemingly coming back after that disastrous tumble when President Trump was announced. The dollar strength, is that sustainable?
It is. I think so. You know, I think if we go into a very strong 2025, which I think we're going to go into, remember, rates will come down in the US, growth will continue. I think that it's, you know, the US will attract a lot of funds, a lot of investment funds. That's going to be the preferred place to be, and that's going to maintain dollar strength. The only thing that can swing it around, and you touched on it, is commodities. You know, if China could do something, but I still think they're battling at the moment. I think that, you know, just historically, I think their economic policies are starting to catch up with them, probably spending and investing more than they could actually earn. Is telling, and Mr. Xi has to pull some, you know, some fancy levers as well. But and we rely on it a lot, and Europe relies on a lot, and that's why I think they're pretty weak at the moment. So they caught, you know, Europe's caught between worries about tariff increases from Mr. Trump, their friend, and on the other side they've got China, you know, also pretty weak. So I think that just adds to the attraction of the United States.
We spoke about this before the election, saying that if Donald J. Trump was to return to politics, we would all be in for an interesting 2025, and it seems that's exactly how it's shaping up. We'll leave the conversation there, Uncle David. Thank you so much for the time and the insights. As always, lovely catching up with you. We look forward to seeing how these stories continue to play out. But that was David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth joining us to take a look at the market movements throughout the day, as well as what could potentially be driving market conditions.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.